We continue our sermon series today from the toolbox of life, the armor of God, God's armor, six specific tools that He gives us to help us to live the Christian life. God's armor for us, God's armor for you. It is the armor of God. He designed it, He planned it. He provides it, and it's up to us to wear it, to embrace it, to understand its significance and its importance to who we are spiritually as Christians. Every one of the six pieces of the armor of God have an incredible purpose, and you just imagine without any one of them how vulnerable the warrior would be. We've looked at three of them already. We have looked at the belt of truth, how important truth is. If you don't have truth, then you, who knows what direction your life spiritually will go. We've talked about the sword of the Spirit related to truth and God's Word that gives us life and the heart of God and counsel for how to deal with life. And then last week, the breastplate of righteousness. How we've got to choose to live it out and put into practice the truth, the belt, the Word of God, the sword, and the breastplate of righteousness, we live it out. That's three, each of them with their purpose to keep us, as verse 10 chapter 6 says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Six tools to help us to be strong in the dynamite power of God. Number four, and I've not taken them in order, as you know if you've read through the text with me, but the fourth one that I want to speak of this morning comes also from chapter 4, or chapter 6 of the book Ephesians, and it says this in verse 16, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. This is an important verse in the Bible. This to me is one of tens of thousands probably, but one of close to me in my heart, one of the most important verses in the Bible. If you don't understand how important the shield of faith is, then you can be very vulnerable to losing out spiritually in your walk with God. There's so many things that can take you out. The shield of faith is so important to have and to use. And so today I'd like to speak for a time about the shield of faith. How important your faith is. What it is that is your faith that helps you and can help you and really will decide the direction of your life spiritually and often in many other areas of your life. No one can choose your faith for you. There's not a single person here today who can choose faith for someone else. There are times that your faith will help to shield another person, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you have got to choose to have a shield of faith and to hold it and to use it in life. God gives you a shield if you allow Him to help you to hold it and to use it. Faith can be built. Faith is chosen. And number two, faith can be built. It can be nurtured. It can be strengthened. It can be exercised. You can increase your faith. Or you can ignore that tool, that muscle, if you will, and it will get weaker and weaker. And what you once could do as a Christian, and you were as a Christian, You can get to a place without a strong shield of faith that will be weakened so much that you are very vulnerable to the enemy. And so today, again, I say, let us take up the shield of faith. There's a scripture that I want to read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. This would be the second verse that I'm quoting today that's in my top list of verses that are important, truths that are important in my thought and my heart about God and about faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot be close to God unless you choose to believe who He is. Faith is stepping beyond what you know and accepting the promises of God. And so there's two elements of that faith that I see and I think about in this verse, or two foundations for our faith. Number one is we must believe that God exists. That is a choice. That is a decision that probably every thinking human being makes throughout life. Sometimes there's a time of really considering that question. For many people it is. Does God exist? Do I believe that God exists? Number one. What do I see? What do I think? What do I feel? What do I believe? God gives us a whole lot of evidence to help us to know and believe that He exists. God gives us the creation that's incredible. When you stop to think about the complexity of creation, how could you not believe in a designer? We must believe that God exists. We must choose to do that. When our faith is weak, we must choose to listen to the voices, to listen to the input, to listen to the belt of truth about the existence of God. If you don't choose to listen to the truth of God, then you can never have a strong shield. That's why I started with the belt of truth. Building your faith is embracing, taking within what God says and letting that ruminate in your heart and your mind and your spirit so that your belief system, your choices, your worldview come in line with who God is. And you must exercise that. You must, when it's easy and when it's hard, you must choose to believe that God is who He says He is. You must believe that God exists. And you must believe that He rewards those who diligently, or one translation says, earnestly seek Him. I think of it like this. We have to believe that God interacts with us. We have to believe that He wants a relationship with us. And our Christianity is not with a dead God or a dead religion or some system, way of life and cultural something. Christianity is about a living relationship who believes that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him, who believes that God will do what He said, that God is in control somehow, and He allows things to happen in life, and part of that is the free will of man and God's choice for our creation. We must believe that God is still connected to the world, even when things are difficult, even when we see things that are hard for us to understand, which they will be there. We must believe that God exists, number one, and we must believe that God reaches out to us and He has His revelation for us. That's what faith is. Yes, I believe that God is there, and I believe that God is not sitting on this chair somewhere distant from us with His hands folded or His clipboard out and just watching us. That's not what Christianity is, God just watching us. God wants to be involved in our lives and connected to us. That's what faith is. It's living. Faith is a living relationship with a God. As we learn, as we hear, as we're challenged, as we hurt, as we process, as we weigh things that we hear and are said, faith is knowing that we have a living God and we're following Him and serving Him and seeking Him. We must believe that He exists. and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Jesus highly valued faith. Many times in his 3 years of recorded ministry, he interacted with people and he noted their faith. I'm thinking of this story in Matthew, and instead of reading it, I'll just summarize it here. There's this Roman soldier who maybe had his Roman armor on, I don't know, but he came to Jesus one day and he said, "Jesus, come and heal my servant." And Jesus said, "I'll come." And he said, "Well, you don't even have to come. If you just speak the word, he'll be healed. That's all." And Jesus said about this Roman Gentile servant, "I have not found anyone in Israel with such great a faith." Jesus notices faith. He's looking for faith. He's looking in Israel for faith. "When I come, will I find such faith in all of Israel? When I come to the church, will I find faith in the church?" People that believe and are exercising and are practicing and are putting into life's where rubber meets the road situations, who I am. Jesus recognized faith. He commended them. The armor of God, our text today, Ephesians chapter 6, 16. The shield of faith. What about it? Number one, the shield of faith must be taken up. It must be taken up. Verse 16 says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Take it up. Get it in your hand. Get it ready for battle. Don't think because you say you believe in God that you don't have to exercise that weapon. You must use it and have it and have it ready. You must embrace it for it to do its work. I mean, wouldn't it be ludicrous to think that the soldier would go into battle and he'd lay his shield down and then go into battle? The shield doesn't do you any good unless you're holding it up in life situations. You know what it's there for and you realize that it must be taken up. It's in addition to all the other pieces of armor. It's not the only piece, but it's in addition to all that God gives us. I think of that breastplate of righteousness, and I said, that's a defense against the jabs of the enemy of the sword or the arrows, the darts that come, and that will stop many of them, but not all of them. But if you have the shield up, you have two defenses against the enemy, right there to your vital organs to protect you. It's an addition to those things. With it, you will stop the enemy's arrows. It will guard you. It will help you that when the enemy shoots his arrows, you will extinguish those flaming arrows in your life. It has power to stop the work of the enemy. I see... excuse me. Your faith will protect you if you keep it up facing the enemy. When you keep it alert and strong, it will protect you from the enemy. It will stop the enemy's advances. It also will help you when you're not seeing the enemy. I'm thinking of times when you're under attack, but you don't see it for what it is. Sometimes that really is pretty common in our Christian lives. We have a problem. We have an issue in life, maybe relational, maybe about our work, maybe about temptation or whatever it is that's in our lives. There's something that is seemingly so hard out there, but we don't realize that the enemy is trying to get us. And he uses life situations to do that. And so it's important that shield be held up. Not held down, not in retreat, or it doesn't do its job. How important it is that we hold it facing the enemy. You know, the shield that's on the ground or we're holding behind us doesn't do us any good. It's when we're facing the enemy that it does us the most good. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How do you increase your faith? I'd say two ways. Number one, is you fill your soul. Yes, fill your mind. Yes, fill your eyes. Yes, fill your heart. But I say fill your soul with God's counsel. so that it's who you are. It's not that you, well, what's God say about deception? You have to go find it. But somehow you build up that faith on the inside that you know what God is speaking to you and helping you. And that comes with time. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But what does your faith do for you? What does my faith do for me? I know for all of us, as we think about that question, there's different things that come to our minds. I bet as many people of you that are listening today, I would say, what does your faith do for you? You would probably name some things that your faith has helped you with. Or maybe it's an area of weakness in your life and you think, I would like my faith to be stronger in that way. Certainly, the attack of the enemy has a lot of different arrows. When I read this illustration of Paul, and he talks about all the flaming arrows, he's not talking about one problem. He's talking about a whole quiver full of the enemy's attacks that he uses, and they're different ones. Certainly, they have different names. None of us are exempt from that. There are as many different arrows or darts that can come at us as we are here today. All of you, all of us, have areas in our lives that the enemy, when he goes for the quiver, he reaches a certain arrow out. He knows where they're at. He knows what my arrow might be. He knows what yours is. And I think he reaches back there and he gets the one just for Wayne Crowell. Okay, that one. No, not that one. Because he knows where we're vulnerable to. See, God knows and Satan knows, and Satan will try. When we have the shield of faith, we have two things on. We have that breastplate of righteousness to protect us, and we have God's truth to protect us as well. All of us have areas of arrows. For some, it may just be doubts of God's existence. And certainly, as we talked about, I talked about earlier about whether God exists or not. But even way past that is there's times in our lives when we begin to doubt, may doubt God's existence. We may especially doubt that God's there. All of us probably who go through hard times do that. Where's God today? Where's God when this happens? Why did God let this happen? Is there anybody here that would say who's engaging with what I'm trying to share today would say, I don't have an area where I'm not under attack from Satan about your faith? I bet you could write down this morning maybe an area that you know Satan's trying to attack you. Maybe in doubts. Maybe it's because of pain in your life and the hurts that are there. Maybe it's because of what somebody has done to you. Every time Satan reaches for the pain arrow for you. For others, maybe it's fear. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you've been hurt so much that you live in fear. Maybe the fear is real. Maybe it's an imagined. Loneliness. It's an arrow he pulls out. I know a lot of people who have that arrow that they no comes their way. Disappointments. Life just hasn't been what I hope it's going to be. Oh, Satan can get us on that one. See, when we're, the shield is weak and it starts to go down and it's just not very strong, how Satan takes that arrow out and goes for your heart and your spirit to defeat you, to destroy you, to discourage you. Maybe it's a temptation. Satan knows how vulnerable you are to a certain particular problem. You know it's not God's will, but you struggle with it. And Satan, I get him again. Whatever it is, whatever it could be, a habit. Complacency. I just don't take time to think about it and be concerned about it anymore. Whatever it is, today, I just ask you to fill in the blank. What is it that God wants to protect you from? The truth is, we have an enemy who is trying to destroy us. You might think, I'm the only one going through this, but I want to say to you, you are not. You are absolutely not alone in Satan trying to send his arrows to you. Everyone is like that. I was reading again a partial account of the life of Martin Luther. You know who he was. He's the Protestant reformer that brought about really the two trunks of Christianity, Catholicism and Protestantism, through his work in Germany. And he's an interesting man, interesting life. There's a lot of things about him that are just very interesting. But I'll tell you one thing, is he understood what he was up against. And there came a day, and I'm not bringing all the details to it, there came a day that he was there. I believe he was in a prison cell at that point. I can't remember that. I'm not sure. But after all he had tried to do, and good and bad, and he tried to do what God wanted him to do, and he was this leader, and so many people were responding to him, he also had the enemy pulling his arrows out constantly about everything he was doing. He writes about it. He was depressed a lot. And one day, he said he felt it so strong in his castle wall dungeon, I believe, I don't know exactly what it was, that he just felt like he was going to absolutely break. And he took his inkwell and he slammed it against the wall in his frustration and anger. He couldn't stand up to it. God got him through that. And I guess he would never allow that to be covered, because he wanted to remember who the enemy was. You got to know who the enemy is spiritually in your life. You got to know that there's an enemy that wants to destroy you. He wants to take you down. And he'll try to find, simply verse 12 says it like this, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I know it's related to everything in life. They're tied together. It's both of this world and it's spiritual. But in your life circumstances, there is an active enemy who wants to bring you down. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against an enemy of our soul. And he will try to find that place to get to you. I think that there are many barriers to a strong faith and shield. There are several things that we could talk about. This morning I want to mention too, it's really very much related to what I said Sunday night when I was talking about sanctification. So those of you that were here, you're going to hear this a little bit again. Last Sunday night, I said, I'm concerned in the church that there are two specific barriers to really understanding what sanctification is. And we do well to think about what it means. And these are the two barriers. Number one is we're too busy to get real with God about who we are. Too occupied with our time, our circumstances, that we're just too busy to get real with God about what's going on inside of us. And number two is this, we don't see the sin nature for what it is. We dismiss attitudes that are not godly and say, well, that's just me, just my personality, I can't help it. And we don't understand what the sin nature is. And in the same way, when I think about the shield of faith, what can cause you to have a weak shield? Number one, you can be too busy to even realize that there's an enemy coming after you. And number two, we don't see the flaming arrows for what they are. You don't see those attacks in your life as knowing that there's an enemy trying to destroy you. I say to you this morning, you need your shield. Pick up the shield. It is your first line of defense. It will guard you. It will deflect the attacks of the enemy. It will help you not to be so vulnerable. It's that first line of defense. When Satan comes after you, the shield is there. It will guard you even when you're not seeing the arrows come. When you have a strong faith, those arrows will not be able to get to you because you already have something in place. It will also deflect the attacks that otherwise might get close to you. It's a weapon to push back. I think also of the shield of faith, and I'm thinking of the Roman soldier and how the purpose of the weapon also is partially offensive. When the Roman soldiers had to attack, they had to go into the battle. They had to ram the army. When they had to approach the defended city, they held up that shield as a ram and they went forward. Sometimes you got to just go forward in your faith and your life and your choices instead of falling back and just hoping you don't get crushed by life circumstances. You got to pick up that shield and say, I'm going forward. I'm listening to God. I'm going to do what God calls me to do. It's a weapon to fight back too. The last thing I want to say about the shield of faith is there is strength in numbers. There is strength in numbers. You may have heard this before, that Roman soldiers, some of them at certain times in certain battles, had this technique where they would line up shoulder to shoulder and their shields would be right up against each other. In fact, they did have some that interlocked, I've read, at times, and they would somehow connect with some kind of a strap. And so when they had to go forward into battle, they went as one, locked together. And how important it is we understand the value of the church, the body of Christ, and of each other. This is one more, to me, example of how important the unity of the church is. And how important it is that we in the Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene do see ourselves not just as one soldier with a shield, but we understand that God wants us to interlock in order to live this Christian life and to be a help to each other. There might be a time when an arrow would get through and get the person behind you, but because we have our shields up, not only does it protect us, but it may protect others as well. I want to say to you this morning, your shield is so important in your faith, your choices about God. I want to encourage you today, pick up your shield today.